try not to pose it up this time.
Welcome to Truant Talk, where we dig deeply into biodynamic and regenerative organic agriculture at Truant Vineyard in Oregon's Applegate Valley. We are following up our previous podcast where we talked about the various rhythms and calendars we use to practice biodynamics at Truant Vineyard. But today we're going to look more deeply at the moon itself and the rhythms that guide us, as the moon is perhaps the most important aspect we look at as far as celestial bodies. So joining us today are Truant's Director of Agriculture, Garrett Long.
Hello, hello.
And our longtime biodynamic consultant, Andrew Beattie. Welcome, Andrew, and could you tell us something about yourself?
So my name is Andrew Beattie, and I help various farms and vineyards build out their biodynamic farming systems. So I've been with Truant for a number of years. I wasn't quite sure how many it's been, but it's been like quite a 7-8 years.
Yeah, 2018.
There you go.
Yeah. So Garrett, could you just talk briefly about what we talked about last time, the biodynamic calendars, and then we'll look at the moon itself.
Yeah, you bet. Last time with our winemaker, Nate Wall, we really covered more of our practical planning process, how we utilize the Maria Thune Almanac, as well as various lunar calendars to select ideal days for certain activities like making the BD preps, making wine or harvesting grapes or planting vegetables. And so rather than do a practical how do we just plan our biodynamic schedule? Yeah, let's really get into what aspects of the moon are influencing that planning process, or rather those activities rather than the planning process.
Yeah, Andrew, maybe we could just start with the basic, you know, the original Steiner lectures and his discussion of the moon and how all of this started down the how biodynamics was created.
So the biodynamic practices that we use today all started 1929 started by a series of lectures by Rudolf Steiner. And through those lectures, the 8 lectures, there was indications on how to further improve your organic farm, because Steiner was approached by a group of organic farmers who were doing all of the, you know, the composting, the like animal integration, the seed saving. Well, they were practicing all the sound organic methods, but still their farming systems were showing certain ailments and loss of vitality, and not performing as well as they had in the past. So Steiner came in under much persuasion from various farmers and in the anthroposophical communities in Europe in the 20s. Took a number of years to get him to actually show up and provide these lectures, but once he did, he provided indications on how to use influences on your farm to bring back the vitality of those systems. And one of the indications was the use of lunar and solar and planetary influences to bring about further revitalization. So when people think of biodynamics, that is one of the key thoughts or takeaways from the difference between a sound organic farm and a sound biodynamic farm, is the use of astronomical influences. And everybody knows that our nearest neighbor probably provides the most influence, being the moon. So that's where we always start in our planning.
So Garrett, we talked a bit about, you know, the ascending and descending moon. What were the aspects we were discussing last time, just to give a brief overview of them?
So the lunar rhythms are basically on a 1 month, or more specifically 29 and a half day rhythm. the moon generally ascends in the sky. The peak of the ascension of every of the moon's movement through the night sky, it peaks every night, but ultimately it peaks after a two-week period at the ascending node, and then it goes on a two-week period in which the moon is descending or appears to descend in the night sky. And really, I think what we're talking about, Andrew, you just mentioned that the moon is the most proximal celestial body to the Earth, and so we consider it most because of its proximity, frankly, right? And so if we think about these the ascending and descending rhythms, as well as the waxing and waning of the moon, these are the most primary considerations that we're using when planning our activities. But we also talked about the practical necessity of using earthly considerations first. What is the weather? What is the climate? What's going on in our personal lives that might affect our farming practices, etc. So, you know, maybe you could dig into that a little bit more. You know, the sun mm-hmm. and the weather is the first consideration. But then if we can move beyond that, then we can really start to consider the moon's influence.
Well, they're just taking a little bit of a step back, when we talk about biodynamic calendars, those simply identify the optimum days for any given farming activity. And that can be, you know, working with you guys' vines or the cider apple trees, like woody tree fruits, then the calendar can help you identify the optimum day for pruning. Working in your vegetable garden, the calendar can be used to identify the best day for sowing or ground cultivation, or there's many different field activities that can be identified using the timing of those activities using the various planting calendars. But when we speak of the moon, we can kind of group those or divide those influences of the moon into six different kind of rhythms. And you touched upon one being, you know, the ascending and descending periods, where we look out in the sky at night and the moon makes a regular arc across the sky, starts low, gradually works up, that's ascending. If it's getting slightly lower every day, then that's descending. That's one of the six. And then you've got the nodes, ascending, descending nodes, where it's the period where the moon crosses the ecliptic, when the sun's ecliptic. That obviously there is one descending node and one ascending node. Then there's the apogee, perigee. So the moon's apogee, the moon's furthest point in the month from the Earth, and the moon's perigee, which is the moon's closest point in the month. Then you've got the moon, the moon's opposition, that we call it, through the solar system planets. So any of the inner planets, that opposition, so inner being like Mercury and Venus, and the moon obviously is kind of like a small planet, but those are more associated with the silica limestone short-lived plants. The outer planets in their oppositions are more associated with woody tree fruits, anything that has like a woody rind or cover to it. So the vineyards are obviously a clear example. Those are Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. Then we have the new moon and full moon. It's obviously a simple rhythm of those six rhythms. And then the final one is the moon sign. And when we say moon sign, when you look up from the Earth at the moon, behind the moon will be any of six zodiac constellations. Those 12 constellations are then grouped into four plant groups. We hear of like a root sign, mm-hmm. we hear of a leaf sign, we hear of a fruit sign,
Flower.
And the flower sign. Thanks. So an example of a root, just using that as an example, Virgo, when we are, say, transplanting a potato, just using that as an example, the ideal time would be, you know, a new moon. It would be in a root sign, so Virgo. It will be on a descending period, and it will be on a waning period. So we can use these calendars to get as many of those as we can in our any given field activity. And if we get 0 of 6, well, sometimes we still have to plant that potato. But if we can get all of those, which is probably pretty rare, then we'll do that. But it's just a way of really refining your not just the influences of like gravity, you know, which is the basic moon influence, you know, high tide, low tide, everyone mm-hmm. knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But moving to more plant specific, you would then choose the oppositions and trying to focus more on or incorporate one of those planetary oppositions. So when we say that, we're kind of in the middle. You're looking up at the moon, and then 120 odd degrees, 180 degrees behind you is a planet. And if we're working, let's say, in your cider apples there, perennial, we want to choose one of the outer planets. If we refer back to Steiner's, I'm going to stretch my memory here, but sixth lecture, lecture six, when speaks of the inner planets and outer planets and their associations, we're coming up to pruning your cider apples, we could choose or look in the calendar to identify times where we can bring in a opposition of Jupiter. Jupiter is associated per Rudolf Steiner's lectures to white or yellow flowers, so have a close relationship with vines as well. Vines are kind of, they're a very very modest flower, just a lot of them. But they are a yellowy, greeny flower. Anyway, so in you guys' sense, we'll use the calendar to focus these critical field activities. Yeah,
we spent a bunch of time on this visit talking about the upcoming pruning that we have. I think that's a really great practice that's fairly simplistic to identify, you know, what you're discussing with the moon's opposition to Jupiter, for instance, is a pretty high level use of the lunar calendar. But can you just talk about more specifically maybe the role of ascending or descending moon or waxing or waning in terms of how that might influence when we prune our trees?
Well, the waxing and waning is, I consider that more relevant for the annual plants.
Mm.
That's more relevant for like seed sowing or seed transplanting or, you know.
Or even harvesting aromatic herbs or something.
Yeah. Exactly. That's more association with like associated with like the water elements. The ascending, descending is more associated with, you know, sap flow
mm-hmm.
in a plant. We try and prune on a descending when the sap flow is, the energy of the plant is headed down to the roots. But that being said, you could ask another biodynamic practitioner and their approach would be like, well, I believe that you should prune on an ascending moon because the energy of that plant is then, you know, bringing sap into that wound and healing it quicker. So you can ask many different doctors and get many different opinions. And the same with biodynamic farmers. But our approach is more pragmatic.
And also partly maybe because we use a tree paste, a biodynamic tree paste we make here on property, or pruning paste is another name for it, and we coat the wounds. So rather than relying on the tree's sap flows itself to sort of heal up those wounds, we'll paint our own, you know, biologically rich and, you know, nutrient rich Band-Aid, so to speak, onto the tree. And, you know, the way that I was thinking of it, one practitioner's perspective is that as all of that energy, like you said, that sap flow is down into the roots, you've got all of that energy, all those carbohydrates, all that good stuff stored in the roots. If you prune then during a descending moon phase or towards the end of that 2-week period, then what you are communicating to the tree is where you want its growth to be, given where you've pruned and where you want new growth or fruiting wood to grow, for example. Then you're guiding that growth over the next 2-week period. But I can totally understand what you're saying, and there's many ways to use these lunar calendars.
Yeah, just on the tree paste that we make, that's an old traditional wound healing technique in India is cow manure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the using that concept of using a biologically active, it's almost like an ointment, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we put on those cuts, just like I use calendula ointment on my, you know, kids if they fall off their skateboard and graze their knee. You know, so you can use these alive products much more in a symbiotic way, rather than in a conventional system. When we go through pruning in conventional orchards, they'll use like a petroleum based tar spray on it, and well, I guess that works, but it seems kind of counter to plant health, but there we are. So just like on the going back to the planting calendar or the biodynamic almanacs out there, they just simply identify the ideal time for various activities. And the more you can pay attention to that, and the more observant you'll be in your fields or vineyards. Like anything else, like the more attention you put to plant health, that will be reflected in nutritive value and
yeah, and one of the things, you know, I recall from Steiner's lecture was he was talking about the use of the preparations to sort of create a more sensitive farm to these cosmic influences. That an estate, a farm, a garden that has been using the preparations is preparing it, is sort of like making the farm and the farm organism more sensitive to lunar and cosmic influence. And so, you know, as we have been putting out the preps here at Troon since 2018, our soils and our plants are more sensitive, you might say, to these cosmic influences.
Well, that I was just thinking, the cosmic influences, there's the direct influences and there's the reflected influences. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have the moon's light shining directly down on us. That has a much different energy on the plants than Jupiter's light or the sun's light being shone onto Jupiter and reflected back. So there's more research into that now, or more attention being put into that. But in a very basic level, if somebody is new to using biodynamic calendars and is interested in taking one or two steps to bring those influences into their, say, home garden, then try at home, try sowing your potatoes on a new moon and then try sowing the next row of potatoes on the full moon and just see what happens. And if you want to get extravagant, then prune your apple tree when Jupiter is in opposition to Mars. I mean, opposition to...
to the moon.
Yeah.
Andrew, they often talk about the moon as being a focusing element for these energies from other planetary, the parts of our solar system here. How do you perceive that?
Well, the solar system is a very big space. And our closest connection to that space generally rides through some influence of the moon. So when we look at the calendar, we have to consider how do we, if we want to bring in the influence of, I'm just going to use Virgo because that's my star sign. If we want to bring that next level of influences onto our little garden, then the only way we can bring that influence is via the moon, being that magnifier or antenna, so to speak, to those far distant influences. So when, I guess, taking a little bit of a step back again, when we think of influences on our farm or garden beyond us working in the fields, then obviously you have like the diurnal cycle. So then the morning, the moisture flow will be down in the plant, and as the day warms up, that moisture will then go up into the leaves and then come back down. So when we pick a lettuce at 6 in the morning, it has a much different moisture content than 6 in the afternoon. It's just a general diurnal cycle, obviously an influence out of us working in the fields. Then you have your lunar influences. There's just the specific, ascending, descending. Then you have the oppositions, which is the connection to the inner planets or outer planets. And again, we touched on like the annuals grouped into inner planet influences, and the outer and the woody plants being grouped with the outer planets. The moon is our connection to those next layer of influences. Then if we skip further out, then we get to the constellations, and that's kind of like the root day, fruit day, leaf day, flower day, three constellations grouped into each. The moon is our connection to those distant influences. So that's kind of it's our antenna.
Hey, Kara, you mentioned that with your father in the past, right, with harvesting lumber?
Yeah. When my dad worked in forestry, he said that was just a well-known thing that everybody knew, is you don't harvest trees, you don't harvest timber when it's a full moon, because there's sap flow and it makes the wood harder to dry. It makes it rot faster. And we can think about those same qualities in, let's say we want to harvest our garlic to cure it, or our potatoes or something like that. If we harvest them when the moon is in, let's say, a water sign, that watery influence will be imbued in that root crop when we harvest it, and can potentially shorten the storage life of that crop. Whereas if we harvest it in more like an air sign or a fire sign, that the likelihood of that crop storing longer will be magnified or accentuated by the moon, right?
Absolutely. And if we are using these calendars to identify the optimal time for field activity, we can also use those times to identify the optimum time for harvest quality. And our goal here in everything we do is quality. So if we can use any given calendars out there to identify the optimum day for harvesting grapes for a specific wine style, then the calendar can be a great tool to predict that out into, you know, the summer and the fall. So if we're looking for a light, expressive, lively, open wine to be drunk on a summer afternoon, then, you know, we should perhaps consider harvesting them on a fire sign, you know, just and using those influences to inform that decision.
And to take it one step further, I mean, we can sort of revisit that same crop multiple times and almost in a way stack that influence. What I mean is we can accentuate those qualities, those bright, you know, vivacious qualities by harvesting our grapes on a fire sign, and we can accentuate that tasting, that sensory experience even further by, say, drinking it on a fruit day or something like that. So we oftentimes are thinking of these crops as relating to a particular part of the plant that we care about harvesting. So grapes is easy, right? That's the fruit that we care about most. Most people aren't eating the grape roots, for example. So we think about working with these grape plants always on a fruit day or in a fire, when the moon is in a fire sign. And conversely, you know, we could bring up potatoes. This is a root crop. We really want to harvest the root crop. In fact, the leaves and stems and flowers, everything are poisonous of the potato, right, to humans. So we want to continually work with that potato when the moon is in a earth sign or when it's a root day. So if we can continually sort of stack these influences and revisit these plants and perform these activities on these particular days, we can accentuate those qualities even further.
Well, it's the reinforcing technique, right? And we've spoken about this numerous times over the years, where applying any of the biodynamic preparations once, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Do it on repetition over years, well, that's where you get the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So if we start off, I'm just going to use potatoes again, but if we start off in any given point of the year and we have to do some cultivation due to weather on a fire sign, well, it's not going to be the end of the world. You can always come back. The good thing about those calendars is they're very predictable. Pretty sure the moon is going to come around in 20, whatever the math is, but
29 and a half days.
So it's a given, right? Pretty sure the apogee is going to be on this day, and that ain't really going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So we can predict out pretty far in advance. And I know Nate, the winemaker, had asked me a few weeks ago how to predict, not just in an annual term, a seasonal term, but if we want to book our bottling truck to then add a further biodynamic influence to bottle on a specific day or fire sign or any ascending, all the other influences, then how do we predict out to 2025 when he needs to book his bottling truck for the summer because, you know, they're in high demand?
Mm-hmm.
We can get pretty close looking at the historical averages, I guess. But his question was, is there an app for that? And sadly, there is not an app for that yet. But it's just like trying to identify, trying to predict out over multiple seasons for the sake of bringing that final influence into you guys' biodynamic wine, and that is when it is put through the bottling truck into a bottle.
Yeah, if there's any listeners out there working on an app or aware of an app, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm afraid I haven't heard of that.
So we always, you know, we're talking about biodynamics. We tend to start everything in the 1920s, but all of these rhythms are in fact ancient wisdom, right? I mean, this is what farmers used before there were actual calendars and so forth, and we're just following that tradition.
Yeah, these are ancient traditions, going back eons, where we got lost there for a time, and in some respects still currently, we lost touch of how to really observe your system, and solely relied or turned our attention to inputs, right? And that primarily is from, you know, the end of the First World War, is what to do with all these excess industries and materials. And where Steiner really came in was not just pulling these things out of like thin air, because like that's not really going to be a benefit to anybody. It was taking the ancient practices that had only been lost, not for really that long. I mean, only, let's say, in the industrial age, for those like 50 odd years, something like that. So in the process of the historical, humanity's history, like, it's really not that long. But we see, well, those original farmers that requested his input saw in a very short amount of time that in one generation or two generations, that if you stop observing your farm and you rely purely on inputs, whether they are sound organic inputs or not, you know, your general vitality of your farm may indeed decrease. So what we're trying to do, and using Steiner's indications, is not just take those initial indications and calling it quits, you know, just we have to take those indications and further build out. And that has been done a lot in the last, you know, it's 100 years, right? Mm-hmm. This is the 100th anniversary of those lectures, and I guess it would be in June, first part of June. Mm-hmm. But I feel that we are only just scratching the surface, and we really can't think that we know it all when it comes to those off-planet influences. They may be, you know, small, and the influence of Virgo might quite clearly be of a lesser degree to how close the moon is to us, and apogee and perigee, but does that make it any less insignificant to consider in growing a plant? Well, I don't really think so. Why not? Why not pay attention to all of it? And if you get one of them right, well, that's better than zero. It's not as good as six, but... yeah. You can sense my pragmatism here, I'm sure.
Well, that's interesting, because that kind of leads into a topic we briefly discussed last time, is that science and biodynamics seem to be coming closer together all the time. There's recent studies from a university in Italy where they focus on the actual reflected light and the rhythm of that light through the season having a very measurable impact on plants. American astronomers have discovered, the moon has this tail that once a month passes over the Earth. That there's all of these things that science is discovering that actually seems to enhance the idea that the moon has an impact that we don't completely understand.
Well, there's much we don't understand. I mean, to put it bluntly. On a slight tangent, but still perhaps relevant to that, my homeopathic doctor sends out this little newsletter every week, and he was talking how scientists just discovered that there is indeed some kind of almost another organ just beneath the skin, and you know that acts as a sensory, just a whole new area of the body that really wasn't even known about until we have these highly effective or accurate MRIs and the computer technology and the AI even that can help to interpret all this data that can actually serve to further that homeopathy. But not related to biodynamics there, but just as scientific developments improve, does not have to be in any way antagonistic to the development and the furtherment and the betterment of biodynamics. I mean, like, some people might frown at computers and all of that, but it can actually really help us to further understand our biodynamics, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. One way that I think of this, merging the observations of our ancestors with our ability in, you know, using these modern technological advancements to explain or better understand some of these processes. I think there was not a good understanding from our ancestor or by our ancestors of why these processes happened, why there were mass spawning events on a full moon, or why insect hatches tend to happen around this full moon time. But it was an observable phenomenon that was undeniable. There was a relationship between these moon cycles and nature, and these were observations that were, you know, recorded for tens of thousands of years. And only now, you know, as Craig is describing some of these more recent studies, there's a better understanding of why. You know, we can actually measure those sodium ions raining down from the moon's tail every month. We can see those in a light spectrum. You know, we can measure those. They're quantifiable. And that, until we had these tools that were able to quantify it, was never known or never understood. Now, what influence those sodium ions might have on us, I think we still don't totally understand, but at least we can detect them and we can begin to parse out that why. And I think that's a real opportunity for biodynamics and science in general, is to start to, or maybe stop questioning biodynamics or other phenomenological processes as pseudoscience, but rather genuinely ask the question, why? Why is this observable phenomenon happening? What sort of scientific instruments can we use to measure it? And what's really behind the curtain, so to speak, as to you know, these influences? It's a really exciting field to me, really exciting future.
So Garrett, just to follow up on that, and Andrew, what do you think this means to us as people, as farmers, that we're following these rhythms? I always think that part of biodynamics is left out. What is it does to the people, the farmers themselves, and following these practices? How do you feel that connecting to these rhythms changes us as farmers?
Well, the more you work with biodynamics, or the more observant you are, well, let's put it this way. If you're a conventional farmer and a use of the biodynamic planting calendar in a conventional system would simply just encourage more observing in that system. And in any given system, in any environment, the more observant you are, the more in attune you are, or in tune you are with the plant's rhythms, so, or animals' rhythms,
or planetary rhythms,
really any of that
at every level.
So these calendars, and I've spoken about this in the past, or just let's take the preps for the compost preps for a brief minute. Those preps have such a balancing effect on the compost that you guys make, or any biodynamic farm makes. Well, they have an equal effect on the person, the farmer making them, and then the person or the farmer putting them in the pile. So the calendar, the biodynamic almanac, will have not just an effect on the plants, but you, just as the moon is the antenna for us to connect with, again, Virgo as the example, the calendar is the tool to connect the farmer to the activities, right? Because without that, you're just like, you know, you're just planting your potatoes on any given day.
I would say something similar. I'm somebody who's really motivated, one, by experimentation, and two, when my experiments go as I hope or expect, or when there's something surprising and encouraging about it. And what I mean is,
as in a disaster? Or...
No, as in an epiphany.
Oh, right.
You know, I have done some of these experiments. I've mimicked some of the experiments that Maria Thun did to demonstrate, as Andrew said, you know, prune your apple tree in when the moon's in opposition to Jupiter, prune your apple tree at new moon, full moon, and see what happens. And when I've done some of these seeding experiments, I can see this observable effect of the lunar influence when I plant seeds only 3 days apart from each other and all other factors being the same, and there's a dramatic influence on that crop growth, not just the seed germination, but the whole trajectory of that plant's life. I'm so thoroughly motivated and excited as a farmer to then continually reinforce that, as we were saying, layer those practices on. And so, you know, as somebody who's just motivated by those successes, I think the lunar calendar, and then to move beyond the moon and start to consider some other planetary influences, is to be observant to nature, is to pay attention. It's to acknowledge that there are these higher forces that may or may not be quantifiable, but they're certainly felt, they are experienced, and they are observable. We may not understand the whys today, but hopefully we will in the future. And to me, as a farmer, I'm just influenced to go out there and use these calendars because I do feel, as you said, more tuned in to nature, to these rhythms, to these practices, and it fills my cup personally to see nature reinforcing what we're doing. It's really exciting as a farmer to feel like we're farming with nature as a partner, as opposed to seeing nature as this antagonistic force that maybe we have to spray or, you know, dominate or control. You know, we're not trying to put a yoke on nature. We're trying to work with her as a partner. And I think biodynamics and these lunar rhythms really provide a perspective of how we can do that. And when you experience that for the first time, you're so motivated to just continue practicing that.
Well, I guess for somebody who's new or wanting to use these biodynamic almanacs or trying to incorporate off-planet influences, then a good place to start is just to always know what phase of the moon is, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a surprising, if you asked any given person, it would be probably shocking how few actually know what phase of the moon is. And sometimes I have to take a little bit of a stop and go, oh yeah, it's a new moon today. But if you put observation and attention to just knowing what phase of the moon is at any given day of the month, you're like a long way there to being able to incorporate other parts of the biodynamic calendar. Because if you have that observant or that focus on off-planet influences, then chances are you can build on that very basic rhythm and incorporate some of these more obscure ones. Because everybody should know what phase of the moon is, regardless of what your profession is.
Another way to put it is maybe everyone should look up at the night sky a little more often.
Yeah, why not? Why not just like take a minute?
if moonlight influences plants, and these Italian researchers just found that moonlight has a very detectable influence on plants, maybe it affects us human beings too. We know our ancestors slept under the stars and spent a lot more time observing the night skies, and maybe that's the call to action here. Look at the moon from time to time.
Yeah, and it's not some just like some hippie, you know, stuff. Well, it kind of is, but it's actually can be really grounding.
Yeah.
You know? And if you can just take a minute to like, just even if it's just for yourself, for a purely selfish act, to focus on what sign, what phase the moon is in, then, well, you'd be better off for it.
Because I do think that, you know, what we're talking about is largely the moon's relationship with our farming practices, and I know we want that to be the focus of this, but I think maybe what we're sort of touching on is the moon has a greater influence on nature and on our lives, and maybe even on our behaviors. You know, I know from talking to firefighters and police officers, those are the craziest nights that they have. They get the most calls, the most absurd things are on full moon days. What influence that is, I don't know that there's a lot of great understanding of the why, but we know, again, that that's an observable phenomenon. And so, you know, if we bring this sort of awareness and the sensitivity into our life, this awareness of the moon phase, then sure, it can guide our farming practices, but maybe it has the potential to do so much more in terms of just connecting us, grounding us, and then, as I mentioned earlier, those really gratifying experiences, sort of almost proving this influence to ourselves by planting seeds on different days, that can be so gratifying as well, and encouraging to just recognize that we're not alone, we are in this gigantic universe, and we are all influenced by these cosmic forces that Steiner, you know, identified 100 years ago and helped us better understand, and we continue to experiment with and better understand these cosmic rhythms every year. I think there's a lot more that we can learn.
Well, Garrett and Andrew, thank you very much. So obviously this is a topic that can go on and on. But I really feel that we kind of expressed not only the physical part, the farming part, but the emotional part that we all feel of this connection, and it does make a difference. So thank you both, and we'll talk to you all in the next podcast. We are happy to share this podcast from Troon Vineyard, a Demeter Biodynamic and Regenerative Organic Certified Winery in Oregon's Applegate Valley. We farm like the world depends on it by growing produce in our gardens and naturally crafting authentic wines. We will be sharing these in-depth podcasts several times a month. To learn more, I encourage you to visit our website at troonvineyard.com and those of the Regenerative Organic Alliance at regenorganic.org and Demeter Biodynamics at demeter-usa.org. Thanks for sharing our voyage to regenerative agriculture with us.